This is music featuring Abdullah Ibrahim with the Jazz Epistles. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and I recommend that you subscribe to it right now. I'm Simon Rettner. There may be little known about the Jazz Epistles here in the United States, but on the mother continent, especially in Johannesburg and Cape Town, the Jazz Epistles are legendary. The Jazz Epistles were performing for packed theaters and sold-out audiences for months at a time in 1959. That's because it featured South Africa's greatest players at the time. Abdullah Ibrahim on piano, Hugh Masekela on trumpet, Kippie Moeketsi on alto saxophone, Jonas Gongwa on trombone, bassist Johnny Gertzi, and the drummer Makaya Nchoko on drums. The name of the album was The Jazz Epistle, Verse 1. But because of the tyranny of apartheid, this music was buried, almost lost forever. Fortunately, the music reemerged decades later and was recorded again, recently, by us on South African Freedom Day 2017 at the Town Hall in New York City. That's actually what you're listening to right now. The Checkout was there along with Jazz Night in America to document this historic event. Abdullah Ibrahim with Akaya reimagining the music from his youth well over 50 years ago. Now we begin today's show by taking you to that concert on April 27th.
For The Checkout from WBGO and Jazz Night in America from NPR hosted by Christian McBride, please welcome the legendary Abdullah Ibrahim and Akaya, playing the music of the Jazz Epistles.
Thank you.
The great Abdullah Ibrahim joins us to reflect on the past, music that he recorded in 1959, to be exact. Some say it's the holiest year in jazz itself, when recordings were being made all around the world, from João Gilberto, Chega de Saudade, to Miles Davis's Kind of Blue, to Charles Mingus's Ah-Um, to Ornette Coleman, The Shape of Jazz to Come. On the other side of the global hemisphere, in the southern hemisphere in South Africa, little-known musicians then were making another historic recording that we are about to share with you today. It's called The Jazz Epistles, Verse 1, and Abdullah Ibrahim joins us to talk about this music and rearranging this music in a new light for his band Akaya. He joins us for the checkout in Jazz Night in America. Thank you so much for joining us, Abdullah Ibrahim.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you. And Simon giving us this chance to, in some respects, relive the music, but also finally get endorsement.
The Jazz Epistles. Who's in that band?
Alto, sax, Kippy Moketsi. And bass, Johnny Getzer. Drums, Makaya and Chogo. Trumpet, Yuma Sikela. Trombone, Jonas Gwangwa. So we were all young and aspiring musicians, because contrary to what the regime was suggesting we should be, we had other ideas. We realized at an early age that this system of so-called apartheid that they wanted to inundate on us and wanted us to digest was totally against the grain of everything, because our understanding is that you cannot throw anything out of the universe. Where will you put it? So it doesn't matter where they moved us, they would still have to deal with us, right? So they tried to to stymie our dream. What we realized, what they were trying to subject us to, was really harming them more than us. So in Cape Town, I used to play with very wealthy families, 20-minute, 30-minute drive from the ghettos, and they have no idea what was going on in the ghetto. Okay? So it gave me a little perspective of these two worlds that were totally separate.
Over dinner, you and I spoke, and I posed the question to you for you to rack your brain and think back, which is totally unfair, I have to add. It's completely unrealistic for me to expect anyone to remember anything that happened, 50 years ago.
I remember this stuff. I have to. I'm a jazz musician. Otherwise, I'll be a businessman.
But I know you had very specific tales and stories. I was hoping that maybe you could just tell those stories. Pretend we're at a campfire and we're all, thinking about these memories and laughing about them now in retrospect.
African cinemascope.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You sit at night under the stars and the shaman would tell you the stories. Yeah?
Exactly.
And then you daybreak.
That's what we're hoping to capture right now. And I'm hoping you can share a couple of these stories with us.
Well, the one that I told you about yesterday, we had to deal with police on a daily basis and a nightly basis. We had to deal with the police. So it was a question of to understand where they were coming from and how to deal with it, you see. So it was Christmas Eve. And I was at home. I was living in Cape Town. It was a so-called white area. But they still had not completed the total force removal of us out of the so-called white area. And on Christmas morning, I sat in this little place, this home. I was still partaking, So I drank, got drunk. At daybreak and Christmas morning, I said, I'm going to walk up this road through this upmarket, opulent, white area. You see? I've never been in this beautiful area. some of these beautiful homes, tree-lined streets. So I sat on the sidewalk, and I could hear the turtle doves, you know. Hur, 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 hur. And in my mind, I started writing a composition about this, you know, and I fell asleep. And the next thing, somebody woke me up and showed me, you know, these two policemen with a hand on a gun. They refused me entry into the medical school. Yeah, they refused me entry into the music college, you know. So what did we study? We studied on our own. So now all these universities give me honorary doctorates. Dr. Ibrahim, can you explain to us how does one improvise? You come with us on a Saturday night. We take a walk in the township, you see, around midnight. When you see that gang coming around the corner towards you, you better improvise. Okay, so this is the way that we lived. Because so when this policeman put his hand on me and I woke up, you had to improvise. Because the first thing he's going to ask you, what you're doing there? You know, if I'm going to tell him, well, I just took a walk here, then he's going to say, oh, so you want to burgle the place. So I said, Merry Christmas, sir. Merry Christmas. Did you hear the turtle doves? Did you hear the doves? So they look at me, they put me in the van, the police van. And they drove with me through the mountain passing Cape Town for about 2 hours. They didn't say anything. And they came to the police station. They parked the car, got out, and opened up the back door where I was sitting, and they walked away. So I said, this probably means shot while trying to escape. Why would they do that? So they only said they want to see my back. So again, improvises. So I ran into the police station. I ran into the police station. I half ran them over. They came running out. They handcuffed me. And they say, what? I said, Merry Christmas. All the cops, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And they had me there for about 2-3 hours. And then, what are you up to? They could get anything out of me. Where do you live and anything? I just said, Merry Christmas. Do you hear the turtle doves? You know, it sounds like. And it was about three, four hours, and then they let me go. So it's this question that you have to apply, you say. I know many of my friends, at that moment, they forgot the drill. Some of them, we never saw them again. No. It was at their whim. And for your survival, you had to understand their mindset.
Thank you.
We're talking to Abdullah Ibrahim here on The Checkout and Jazz Night in America in celebration of the Jazz Epistles rearranged by Abdullah Ibrahim and Akaya for this historic concert on South Africa Freedom Day 2017 at the Town Hall. And we are listening to highlights from that concert and playing Jedi Mind Tricks on the cops. If musicians lost their composure and wasn't always thinking and improvising on the spots with the special branch or the authority, South African government, they would get shot. They didn't make it. A lot of your friends didn't make it, Abdullah Ibrahim.
Their theory, it was called the blunting of the emotions. The first president in that system, his thesis that he wrote was called the blunting of the emotions, which is what the system was based on. So the whole process was their relationship with you was coming from that angle, the blunting of the emotions, which meant that you could not really express yourself. So that always, so what they actually did, they created what they wanted to achieve, and they let you carry it out. You see, you were the police. You were really doing it, carrying out what they intended. That there's a bit. So they had these separate buses also, you know. For me, it was a defining moment when this black mother stands at the bus stop with a daughter, young daughter. And the bus comes and the bus stops. But they can't get on because it's all white bus and the bus goes off. Then the child asks the mother, why? Then the mother has to explain. You see, it's deep. So, you know, in effect, you are carrying out this scheme that they have developed. What do you say to the child? Right? You want to lie to the child? For us, the deeper thing was what was happening to the psyche. What was happening to their psyche, and they wanted to draw us into this psyche. And we refused. So it's a very, very, very subtle. A lot of our people, you know, and it's so tricky because You have to be like on guard, because it happens that you can slip into that and then you're gone. So with the music, see, the music kept us on course.
Well, let's get to some of the music in a little bit more detail and the stories behind the music. I think in particular Kippy Moketsi's tune, Scullery Department.
Yeah.
What is that? What is the Scullery Department?
What is the scullery? The scullery department is a kitchen. The kitchen in your home or in a restaurant, kitchen. So these places that we used to play in a club, all white audience, okay? Because there was no mixing allowed. So most of the time that we played the segregated audiences. So you would play for white audiences, and then you would play in the towns as well. So you could play in the club, and when the set was finished, you couldn't sit at the table. You had to go into the kitchen. So Kippy wrote the song, and I said, what shall we call it? I said, let's call it Scullery Department. And we always ended up in the kitchen.
Thank you. We're speaking with Abdullah Ibrahim here on the Checkout and for Jazz Night in America. And we just heard the newest rendition of Scholarly Department Kippy Moketsi's tune that he brought to the Jazz Epistles recording session in 1959, here re-envisioned by Abdullah Ibrahim and Akaya. There's a couple other songs that have, let's just say, deeper or subversive meaning in the context that they were written, even if the people didn't immediately see it that way. Didn't Blues for Huey also have kind of a secret meaning within the band and what it represented?
They never wanted to record our tradition because they say that our mental capacity cannot deal with such intricate things as mathematics. That was their policy. One of the presidents said, we will ever be relegated to drawers of wood because we don't have the mental capacity to deal with intricate things like mathematics. So we said, okay, let me play you a song. it's not what you expect. This is me. So Blues for Huey. All of us grew up, at least for myself, I grew up playing traditional music, dance bands. So with Jazz Epistle, we said, okay, what we're going to do, present our compositions, which has this inherent cultural connotation. So Kippy wrote Blues for Huey. It sounds like everything that is challenging, it sounds deceptively simple until you get to have to play it. And he based it on the music of the Bapedi people, the Tswana people, they in that area west of Johannesburg. And you know, in Africa, when you listen to traditional, for me, when I listen to traditional music, I don't touch the piano for a week because what I'm playing is totally simplistic compared to traditional music. And the Bapedi people, they have another approach to the music, right? So Kippy wrote this Blues for Huey. Traditional music opens up a whole another dynamic in terms of music, and in terms of your our cosmology, and in terms of one's humanity, because it challenges you beyond what you're normally supposed to accept. So that's what happened also in terms of with the Jazz Epistle. And when we said to them politically, we're not accepting this anymore. The ANC was created before the October Revolution in Russia. We inspired. We inspired many revolutions over the world. This project that we're doing in the Kalahari, there's a cave. We call it the Wonder Cave. This cave has carbon footprint 2.5 million years. Right? And Bushman settlement and rock art in this cave, 850,000 years. So now we're looking at 400 years. You know, 400 years in a dynamic of 2.5 million years.
The Jazz Epistles, as it is written about in criticism or over the years, it's often labeled South Africa's first bebop band. But if you listen to the recording and you really know what that bebop sound is, there's really only one bebop tune on the record, and that's your tune in a trio setting. We had a good laugh about that last night.
A lot of compositions that we wrote. I mean, even today, what I play in concert is maybe 1% of what I've written. Right. I've got philharmonic works, I could work for voices, we can't get it played. So when we went into the studio, we said to ourselves, well, we understood. You see, before we went into the studio, what we had to do in order just to get them to record it and release it, which was a hard task anyway, because they didn't understand, they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear anything. And so they just printed 500 copies and left it at that.
And you should note, you were playing for audiences that were sold out audiences.
Yep.
2,000, 3,000 people. The record company only printed 500 records. There seems to be something strange about that.
Yeah, we played there was a concert hall in Johannesburg, Selborne Hall. There's a 500 seats. We played there for 6 weeks, packed out every night. There is 10% of the population that services 90%, right, of the population. And then you begin to understand what the mindset and what the struggle is all about.
The trumpeter Hugh Masekela wrote this tune for Abdullah Ibrahim called Dollars Moods, here rearranged by Abdullah Ibrahim. Well, if you don't know, Abdullah Ibrahim was once known as Dollar Brand back in those days. And all of the music that you heard that we recorded at the Town Hall on South Africa Freedom Day, celebrating the 1959 recording, The Jazz Epistles. We heard Scullery Department, Kippy Moketsi's tune, Carol's Drive, that's from the trombonist Jonas Gongwa, and Vario Voom, original composition by Abdullah Ibrahim. Abdullah Ibrahim on piano, Noah Jackson on bass and cello, Will Terrell on drums, Cleve Guyton Jr., alto saxophone, flute, clarinet, and piccolo, Lance Bryant, tenor saxophone, Andre Murchison on trombone, trumpet, Marshall McDonald, baritone saxophone, and Ladisi Nsani on guest trumpet. If you want to learn more about the incredible story behind the Jazz Epistles, I recommend by going to our Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO. There you can read a long article I wrote for NPR. And if you go to checkoutjazz.org, you can watch an amazing animation of Abdullah Ibrahim telling the story about his confrontation with the South African police when he was a young man and how he escaped alive. Again, all of that at checkoutjazz.org. I'd like to give a special thanks to David Tallickson on the music mix, and also to Bryce Rosenblum at Le Poisson Rouge, Matt Papper at the Town Hall, Cindy Bynum, Brianne Serber, and another huge special thanks to Judy Pillay and Bangu Masisi, the president of South African Tourism's North America Division. Without all of them, this program wouldn't have been possible. Thank you for listening to the Checkout Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you liked our conversation with Abdullah Ibrahim and concert, of course, give us a review, a favorable one. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.